Hello, everyone, and welcome to Job Board Geek. It's the podcast about the business of connecting candidates and employers. I'm Jeff Dickey Chasins. I'm the job board doctor and your host. And with me, I have the astonishing Stephen Rothberg of College Recruiter. He's the co-host. Hey, Stephen, how's it going?
It's going well. Astonishing. That sounds nice. Am I in the wrong place? Is this the wrong podcast that I dialed into?
You know, I started using this little synonym app, and I was trying to come up with some unusual synonyms, and I don't know why I thought astonishing matched you. I think I was probably not paying attention. But anyway, yeah. It's what you get for today. You know, we got to keep Mac happy. So
that's my dog, for those who don't know. And so you keep him out of it.
Yeah.
You keep my dog's name out of your effing mouth, as Will Ooh. Smith would say.
Oh, someone had too many Wheaties this morning. today we're lucky. We have Peter Askew and Nick Leroy of Ranchwork and SEO Jobs here to talk to us about what they're doing and SEO and job boards and all that good stuff. But before we get into that, I actually wanted to chat just a little bit about a news item that came through. It's not anything hugely important, but I thought it was very interesting. The Italian job aggregator JobRapido has just announced that they're launching a fixed fee, flat fee subscription service in the UK. And it's at a very low price, £350 for a three-month period. And it allows businesses to list unlimited jobs and change their jobs anytime, anywhere. It's available on a 3, 6, and 12-month plan. They've already launched this in Italy and the Netherlands. Now, the thing I thought that was interesting about this was, first of all, it's really, really cheap for unlimited jobs. Yeah. But second of all, you know, JobRapido is an aggregator, and the vast majority of aggregators that I'm aware of are basically work on a pay-per-click basis or a pay-per-application basis. At this price point, I think JobRapido for medium volume and high volume hires is going to be a much better deal than what an employer could be doing on a regular plain old job aggregator. And JobRapido is not small. It's maybe not as well known here in North America, but in Europe, it's pretty big. They claim 70 million job seekers. They're active in 58 countries, 17 million jobs. So they've got all that sort of stuff. I'm thinking, so why would JobRapido do this? Immediately, I thought, hey, you know what? They wanted to shake up the market a little bit. They wanted to be competitive. There's a lot of job aggregators out there. There's programmatic that's starting to take hold in EU and the UK. And then there's this little old company called Indeed that is really pushing paper application at this point. Will it work? I have no idea, but I think it's pretty smart play if you're trying to shake up the market and pick up some market share. What do you think, Stephen?
Three quick thoughts. So first of all, I'm shocked to hear you saying that it might be a good idea, given that your middle name is Raise Your Price. Second thought is, if the vast majority of their traffic is organic, then I think this has a lot of promise. But if the vast majority of the traffic that they're sending to jobs is sponsored, if they're having to pay for that and essentially arbitrage that, then with the low pricing that they have, they're going to have a really hard time buying enough traffic profitably that their customers are going to be happy, because they're just not going to be able to deliver very many clicks or candidates to these jobs with pricing that low. But again, if their traffic is mostly organic, then that's not really an issue. The third thought that I have is, you know, the expression, if you can't beat them, join them. Mm-hmm. This seems to fall more into the, if you can't beat them, flee from them category to me, that maybe they've just reached the conclusion that they're not going to be able to beat the Indeeds of the world at their own game. And so we're just simply not going to play that game. And that might be a great strategy.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that's a very smart strategy. It's a strategy I often advise clients to do. You know, I work primarily with niche job boards, because they'll come in and they want to take on the Indeeds of the world head first. I'm like, no, you know, that's not the strategy you should have unless you have unlimited wealth. And if you have unlimited wealth, then I'm going to raise my price. So, and unfortunately, I haven't had any clients that had unlimited wealth, to my knowledge. So,
not after they get and pay your bill.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, yeah, I always make sure I do that. So, well, anyway, food for thought. We'll see what happens. Today, as I mentioned earlier, we have Peter Askew and Nick Leroy of Ranch Work and SEO Jobs here on Job Board Geek. So welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, I'm glad you guys are here. I guess to start out, I was hoping that you could talk to us a little bit about your backgrounds and how did you get into the recruiting and job board industry, and you know, just how did you happen to end up running a couple of job boards?
Nick, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it, Peter.
I had a friend in the Atlanta area who ran a job board years ago on the nursing industry, and that was my original introduction. He did it as a solo operator and managed the entire process. He had a background in PHP development, so he built a job board from scratch, but also had a background in SEO as well. During the dot-com boom, he worked with headhunter.net. I don't even know if that still exists anymore. So he had a good exposure to the moving parts of a job board. So I always meet him for lunch and was fascinated by this model that you could build and focusing on kind of niche industries. And I hadn't built a job board at that point. I was still playing around with domain names and seeing what types of models would work well with me. That was my initial introduction into kind of job boards as a potential project to focus on. And you, Nick?
Yeah, so my background is kind of the inverse. You know, I am SEO by trade. I've been in the SEO industry for over 10 years. Within the last couple of years, you know, I've gone out on my own. And within those times, that's when I started getting a little bit more introduced to the job boards. One of my clients was job.com and, you know, a premium domain, you know, a couple of different projects that had worked with them, you know, some had worked better than others. But in addition, you know, also did some auditing for, you guys might be familiar with like builtin.com. You know, they do a lot of job listings within the tech space. So again, that's kind of where my SEO experience, you know, as it relates to job boards, you know, so really being able to optimize them, making sure, as you know, Stephen, you had said that, you know, organic search is so critical here. You know, I think there's big opportunities for SEO to play a role. And obviously that's where Peter kind of reached out to me. You know, I'll let him go into a little more detail into our relationship, but you know, SEO Jobs was just such a fantastic match behind, you know, his domaining experience, my SEO experience, and then just kind of and in between where our passions lie.
Interesting. So, Peter, I am curious because I'd been aware of the site for a while, but I saw you on Chris Russell's job boardathon or whatever you called it. I can't remember. Yeah. And you were talking about SEO. And I was wondering if maybe you could just sort of give our listeners here a little bit of background on how you got into the SEO work with Ranch Work, and then talk about, you know, how you and Nick got together and worked together.
Sure. Yeah. So I actually started off in the paid search side, working with several startups in the Atlanta area, and started understanding the moving parts of paid search, you know, in those days and still to these days. You know, it takes up about a third of the page. And I kept looking at the organic section and saying, well, how does this section work? How do I get my sites listed in this in addition to paid search? When I started jumping down that rabbit hole, I quickly learned, well, it'd be a whole lot quicker if I learned how to code. If I learned how to code, I'd be able to build some websites, then test and see if there are ways to get them to rank for specific terms, and then also drive additional traffic by paid search by buying specific broad or phrase or exact match terms, and use both. And I had seen prior to that point the good conversion rates that you could drive from paid search. So I was a big believer in search, and then started really reverse engineering everything. So I started in paid search, moved over to organic. And honestly, I got a lot of my education from some great books. Art of SEO is just a great traditional, not even, I want to call it traditional, that may make it sound outdated, a wealth of knowledge that's in that book that's reasonably priced. And even over to the SEO book by Aaron Wall. He produced a book back in the day just talking about the nuts and bolts of how to architect a site and build it in a way that serves the audience, but makes it easy for Google to index it and make sure your site is fulfilling all those little points of the algorithm that's constantly changing. And so when I originally adopted Ranch Work as a project and found some success with it. And I was always looking for a secondary project on a job board. And I followed Nick's newsletter. He he provides a really neat educational newsletter. So SEO is a constant education and it never stops. So I always appreciate his email just to keep me up to speed of what in the world's going on in the industry. When the opportunity to acquire SEOjobs.com popped up, Nick, you know, popped into my head. And while we know each other through, you know, Twitter and through video, we've never met face to face yet, and we will at some point, but I reached out and said, "Hey, Nick, I know I'm a stranger. I'm a big fan of your newsletter. Would you have any interest in trying to potentially work together on this interesting project? We have a lot of overlaps. You know, I admire, you know, his Twitter feed and his background in the industry, and he has a really great reputation in the industry. So he and I kind of just started on that foot and worked with each other for a month or two just to make sure that we didn't drive each other crazy, and we worked quite well together. And at this point, I try to lean on his expertise from an SEO standpoint, from all the schema stuff, which I'm still trying to get up to speed on, and having job listings kind of structured correctly from a schema standpoint, and even all those small nuts and bolts that are still over my head. I try to lean on his experience. And Nick, feel free to add.
Yeah, no, I think you did a really good job. You know, as Peter had said, you know, it's interesting, you know, this industry, especially on the SEO side, it's such a small group of people overall. So it's not uncommon that if you're on Twitter or social media, that you're at least familiar with each other. So, you know, Peter and I had kind of followed each other, you know, small talk. You know, it's funny to this day, every time I mention Peter as, you know, one of my buddies and co-founders, they always go, "Oh, the Vidalia Onions guy." It's like, you know, and he's like, "Oh, you know, he's the domainer." And it's like, yep. So it really was this great opportunity. As he had quickly mentioned, you know, I run the SEO newsletter. It's called SEO for Lunch. It's a weekly newsletter. Peter had reached out originally wanting to sponsor it just to get some exposure to SEO jobs. And that's when he kind of doubled down and said, "Actually, you know, what if we were to work together?" And I love Peter's example. You know, I was full in on day one. I was super excited about him, very passionate about SEO. But Peter was the one that was like, "You know, let's kind of do the equivalent. Let's date for a month. You know, let's make sure that when we propose, like, this is a marriage that's going to last forever." And honestly, each day has just gotten better and better. And, you know, a combination of Peter's success with some of his other job boards and the SEO experience that I'm able to bring over, you know, it's just been a really good partnership since day one. I'm very excited for the future of that particular site.
Yeah, I think that's good advice about having a tryout period if you're in a partnership with people, wouldn't you say, Stephen?
Oh, definitely. My wife tried me out for a number of years as a married couple before she agreed to go into business with me. And then I was demoted. She's our CEO now. So we all rise or sink to our own levels of incompetency. So for the people who are listening to the audio version, they're not able to see Nick's background, but he's got an Adrian Peterson jersey up and a Minnesota Vikings logo on the other side. So as a long-suffering Minnesota Vikings fan, I feel your pain. So maybe you can create a job board that'll help the Vikings get an offensive line.
There we go. It's exactly what we need, you know. Free agency, anybody off of the street can apply for that role.
Yeah. It's like, do you weigh 400 pounds? Do you have a pulse? And are you currently incarcerated? And depending on how you answer those questions, you can play for the Vikings this year. For the listeners who are sort of newer to our space, Nick, maybe you can first distinguish for them the difference between search engine marketing, SEM, and search engine optimization, SEO. And then maybe like a few tips that you see a lot of job boards doing wrong when it comes to SEO. Like what's some low-hanging fruit that job boards should really be looking at to improve their SEO?
Absolutely, Stephen. That's a fantastic question. As Peter had kind of alluded to with his experience, SEM, search engine marketing, also known as like paid ads, is just kind of what it's being said. You have to pay to play. And the reality is people that come to the table with the most money typically win. Whereas on the SEO front, search engine optimization, these are the, and I'm using air quotes, free traffic, as in, you know, there traditionally are those, you know, 10 blue links that are below the paid ads. You know, you don't have to pay for them, but it does take quite a bit to be able to optimize your sites, gain the visibility, the credibility, to be able to win those positions in search. As it comes to like best practices or what I've seen, big issues within job boards, there's a couple that come to mind. One, I'll just start with just the general, what we refer to as like on-page optimization. You know, a lot of what Peter was saying, he's reading the books for, read in the past. And these are things like title tags. You know, this is just an element in the back end of your site. It actually shows up in the tab in your browser and is what actually shows up in the blue text within Google itself. It's important that this value is unique to each individual page. So there are job boards that will just have the position name and that'll be it. When there's so many opportunities to be able to have, you know, if you go to SEOjobs.com, you'll notice we have the position name, you know, the salary, if that's available, whether it's remote, and the company name. You know, these are all things. So, you know, while our title tags sometimes go outside of best practice limits, you know, if people are searching for a particular job, you know, we essentially have all the variations of those keywords. So I would say that is a big opportunity that if you guys are not optimizing your title tags across the board, pardon the pun, you know, definitely start there. I think one of the biggest opportunities, and I would put this more on the advanced side, and Peter was the first one to raise his hand and say, hey, I know this is a big deal. I don't have any interest in doing ranch work, but we got to, you know, I'm open to it. And this really is, it's the schema markup and coupled with the job API indexing that Google provides. So what people don't always know is when you type in basically any variation of position/job into Google, there's a widget that essentially shows up in the search results. And what it is it's Google's version of their own job board. You click on one of those listings, and then it essentially gives you the option of selecting the job board that you want to view it on. Now, a key fact to this is it's very, very difficult to get included in this listing if you don't have schema.org. More directly, you have the opportunity to use what's called Google Job API. And this is a mechanism that allows you to basically force feed directly to Google each and individual job listing. And it does not then rely on the original crawling mechanism that Google normally does. And just to take one step back, because I know I'm going a little bit deep here. Google traditionally comes to your website with what they refer to as a crawler. They then kind of click all your links and discover your content. And only at that point do they decide whether it's worthy to index it or otherwise include it in the search engine. This job API allows you to basically bypass that process. Two main benefits. One, as we had kind of alluded to, one, it gets you into Google's index almost instantly. Again, the caveat is that you have your schema markup and everything is set up properly. But one of the bigger benefits as well is it also allows you to remove your job listings from Google's index, because what we don't want to do is have a lot of expired jobs within Google search results that makes you as a job board look bad when you're consistently serving up bad results that are already filled. So I would say those are two opportunities. One is table stakes. You know, you can go in, everybody probably has access to it. The schema and the API is going to be a little bit more complicated, but certainly is worth, you know, dev time, or if you have the ability to kind of configure it on your own. I would say that is a huge opportunity for anyone who's running a job board.
Nick, I have to jump in here and ask you a question, just because I'm just so curious. I've never really gotten an answer from anyone on this, but Indeed, in North America at least, has very famously refused to use the Google schema. And so, of course, I have always encouraged my clients to do that. I mean, just as sort of like you said, table stakes. And it's been beneficial. I mean, typically it drives up their organic traffic 15, 20, 25%. I guess the question is, A, why do you think Indeed refused to get into the Google schema where they used to own the first page, second page, sometimes the third page of Google search results? And B, is there any case in which a job board would not want to use the Google schema?
So those are great questions. And I'm going to answer your first one with kind of an example. I would equate Indeed.com as kind of the Amazon of the job board niche. Now, the reason that I say that, anybody here who's familiar with SEO knows that Amazon doesn't have a lick of schema on their entire site, yet you see that they always have the price component, the star ratings, and all of that is exclusive to schema markup. However, it is to Google's benefit when you have a large brand or entity that if you're going to regularly show those up in your search results, but you're not going to have those components, it makes Google look bad. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question directly, I think similar to Amazon, where I think they are, for better or worse terms, kind of hard-coded, you know, Google's making an exception for them. And I believe that with Indeed being such a powerhouse, I think Google is doing that for them as well. It's for the same reason my understanding is I don't believe Indeed actively uses the job API either, but they do get included in that widget. So I think in short, I don't think they are doing it or allocating engineering time to configure that, because Google is already kind of giving them an exception that none of us who have a niche site would be given.
Interesting. Yeah. So kind of the job board industry's too big to fail situation with them, right? Yeah. Too big to ignore.
Exactly. Like I said, that's why I like to always go back to Amazon. You know, people in the SEO space, you know, we all scratch our head and we get so frustrated because schema is difficult and it does vary per industry, but Amazon doesn't have to put a lick of effort into it because Google just knows that if they don't automatically account for the markup that they should have, it makes them look bad.
So is there any situation in which you can imagine job boards that are not Indeed ignoring the schema?
I don't really see a situation where it would ever benefit you to not have it in place. It's only a benefit to you. And again, I'm going to kind of loop in schema with the job API. Sure. I think there's actually a larger risk to you not using it, simply because we talked about kind of that idea of like index bloat. With Google regularly crawling your site, they're not going to be crawling, visiting, indexing, removing pages as fast as you are populating your site with jobs and removing the jobs from your site.
Well, listen, folks, we're just about out of time, but Peter, I wanted to ask you one final question, which I've asked a lot of our guests, which is, what's been the biggest challenge for you over the last 3 years? Has it been the pandemic or has it been something else?
Gosh, it may have been something that you touch on every now and then, Jeff. Pricing, like figuring out what is my sweet spot. Sometimes I play with my pricing every now and then. The current pricing I have, this is just for ranch work. And even Nick and I are playing around with, you know, we don't know what our eventual pricing will be on SEO jobs, but trying to find that sweet spot, because we don't, at least for ranch work, and I assume we'll have the same thing for SEO jobs, it's a lot of times you set it and then you actually just look at the raw analytics and determine, did job sales go down? Did job sales go up? We don't get many opportunities to do a random sample test or interview people or potential ranches or potential SEO agencies. A lot of times you adjust the price, you cross your fingers and look at the bottom line to determine if sales go up or down. I keep playing around with that with ranch work, and I'm up to, I think I'm 65, 95, and 195, adding more bells and whistles. I have a featured job category, which we pulled over into SEO jobs as well. So if you get the 195, you get included in the featured job category. But it's always concerning. It never gets easier either. You know, each time I consider it, you know, a lot of this is my livelihood. And if the revenue goes to zero or drops significantly, it hits me directly in the pocketbook. That's been challenging for me. Oddly, the pandemic, it was a net benefit to me, just because most ranchers, from the ranching perspective, they're naturally socially distanced out there. I didn't have a big pop of traffic, but it was a modest level of growth over the entire year. I never had any type of crash, and I was consistently getting new job listings, and I allowed job seekers to post listings on ranch work as well. So I had a good increase from that perspective, from folks, you know, listing, hey, I'm tired of living in a big city. I grew up on a farm and I'm interested in returning to that type of lifestyle. But pricing for me, that's the first thing that pops into my head. That is always a concern whenever I tinker and determine what those comfortable rates are, just to cover promotions, you know, not necessarily, you know, domain renewals, but hosting. I always want super fast, and Nick may even talk about this, but I love very, very fast hosting from an SEO perspective. I want my site to be very, very fast from a mobile standpoint, because a lot of my users on RanchWork are accessing the site at least 60 or 70%, sometimes more, are accessing the site through a mobile device. So I always want it quite fast through a tower connection to the internet. But then it goes back to pricing.
Steven will be shocked to hear me say this, but I can absolutely promise you, Peter, that your price is too low. And we can have a conversation about that offline sometime.
Yeah, we should. I know it's so easy to say that, but I'm getting there. I'm taking baby steps. I should take one big baby step, but I haven't yet. I'm still too gun shy.
Well, like I said, we should have a conversation about this sometime, but we'll leave that on the table. So Peter and Nick, it's been great to have you on Job Board Geek. And if our listeners want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of me, you can go to my website, nickleroy.com, or email me directly at nick@nickleroy.com.
I'm fairly active on Twitter. I'm at searchbound, SearchBound. But then I'm pretty active through Ranch Work. If you just, peter@ranchwork.com or peter@seojobs.com.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's been wonderful and very, very instructive and useful. So
we appreciate you having us.
Thank you so much.
You bet. And Stephen, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Well, I'll be the one with my eyes closed as the Minnesota Vikings season starts. So that'll be easy to identify me. Actually, it won't be because most of the Vikings fans will. But anyway, okay. Stephen@collegerecruiter.com.
Great. Well, that's it for today's episode of Job Board Geek. Be sure to subscribe via Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google, whatever particular application that you like. My name is Jeff Dickey Chasins. I'm the Job Board Doctor, and you've been listening to the only podcast that talks about the business of connecting candidates and employers. That's all for now. See you again next time.